We're going to read this morning for our scripture from the book of Exodus, chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14, and we'll commence at the first verse and read down a few verses of this wonderful story from the word of the Lord. Exodus chapter 14 and verse number 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal Zephon, before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, They are entangled in the land, the wilderness has shut them in, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people, and they said, Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot, and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots, and all the chariots of Egypt, and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with an high hand, but the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, and his horsemen, and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea beside Pihahiroth before Baal Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. And may the Lord bless our hearts this reading from his own infallible and inspired word. Let's just bow for a word of prayer. And as Larry has reminded you, please remember Curly in your prayers. He may have surgery tomorrow, or it may be Monday of next week, but he needs the prayers of God's people. So please keep him before the Lord in prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee today. We stand before Thee at the threshold of a new year. We can look back, Lord, and we can say, Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. And so we raise to Thee a grateful Ebenezer. Thou hast brought us safely to this point in time. And we thank Thee, our Father, also for the great promise of Thy word, that Thou wilt complete and perfect the work that Thy people have to do for Thee until the day dawn and the shadows of earth flee away. But until that day does dawn, we pray, O God, that Thou would make us faithful in our following after Thee. O God, help us to exalt Thy name. Help us, Lord, to obey Thy word. And Father, we pray in our day that we might know the miracle working power of God in our midst, and especially to deliver souls from the thraldom and the grip of the wicked one. And so, our Father, be with us now. Again, our God, we pray that Thou would remember those who have great need today. We think of Curly and Joan. We pray that Thy hand would be upon them, that Thou would encourage them from the Word of God even today. And, Father, for others who cannot be here because of illness or infirmity, we ask Your Father to be with them where they are and encourage them in the Lord. Now, our God, as we enter into this world, this year, we pray that Thou would go before us, that Thou would help us, Lord, to have our faith increased. Oh God, how weak is our faith, but we pray that Thou would give us strength to believe the promises of God. Be with us now, we pray, and speak and bless us, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to take this opportunity at the beginning of this first Sabbath of the new year to wish each one of you a very happy and a blessed new year. And may you know much of the blessing of the Lord in 2004. And of course, this is a leap year. And so to the single men in our midst today, this is the year where you have to watch out for yourself, because you know what happens in the leap years. But we do wish you all a very happy and a blessed time. And every year it has been our purpose to give you a motto text that you could use as a sort of encouragement throughout the whole of the year. And it's good to focus on a particular statement or word from the Bible. Now, I realize that motto texts are a bit like the resolutions that we make at the beginning of the year. They are very easily forgotten. So we ask you today to allow God to write His Word upon your heart. Last year we took as a motto text that the mercies and the compassions of the Lord are new every morning. And so they professed to be, and so they turned out to be. The Lord has provided for us right through the whole of this past year, sometimes in surprising ways, always in encouraging ways. Now today, I have a motto text for you. We have a calendar, and those who are at the watch night service on Wednesday night, you got a copy of this already. If you haven't got one, you'll find it is in the middle of our new magazine, which will be here available either tomorrow night at the prayer meeting or on Tuesday night. In the center of the magazine, you've got the calendar. And what a lovely calendar it is. Lovely color. And as well as that, the photographs of 10 lovely men there who are the ministers of our churches in Canada. So you can get a copy of that. But on that, we have our motto text, which is Exodus chapter 14 and verse 14, where we read these words, "The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." Now, this motto text is a sort of a bridging text from the last year into this year, because this text came to us in this past year. It came as an encouragement to us, and it's also one that gave us guidance when we needed guidance in 2003. And we're making it the motto text for 2004. "The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." We would like you, if possible, to think on this text daily. We'd like you to memorize it, because you'll find that as we face the battles of this year, that this text will be a balm and an encouragement to your soul. Now this morning, first of all, I want just to give you a little bit of background. We have here the well-known story of the exodus of the children of Israel out of Egypt. And they had time at Pi-Hahiroth to reflect upon the goodness and the wonderful blessing of the Lord. Because for a long time, they had suffered under the wicked bondage of Pharaoh. They were slaves in the land of Egypt. And then through a series of miracles, in the 10 miracles that were given there, and the 10 plagues, in the series of miracles, and then a most notable one, the shedding of the Passover blood of the Lamb, the children of Israel were delivered once and for all from Egypt, and they experienced a great change. because they passed from slavery in Egypt to freedom with the Lord in the wilderness and finally in the land of Canaan. Now the central act in the whole thing was the shedding of the Passover blood and the application of that to the doorposts and lintels of their homes. And God said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." And so as they stood at the edge of the Red Sea, they could look back and remember the miraculous dealings of the Lord. And they could remember how that God had wonderfully delivered them from the slavery of Egypt. And that is the experience of every individual believer. Because as we stand on the threshold of this year, we can look back and we can rejoice in what the Lord has done for us. Because there was a time when every believer was held in slavery to the devil and we served that wicked master. And even though at times we were grieved and wanted free from his clutches, yet we were held captive by the devil at his will. But then we look back and we can thank the Lord that there was a day came when our minds were focused on the sacrifice of the Lamb of God on the cross, and we were drawn by the Holy Ghost to the cross, and there we were born again. And immediately the chains of the devil were broken. We were set free in glorious liberty. And the Bible reminds us, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And so today, every child of God can look back to a definite time when they passed from the slavery of sin into the liberty of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as Mr. Saunders has pointed out already, can you today look back to a time in your life when life dramatically and radically changed? When you were born again of the Spirit of God, when you came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, can you reflect and look back and say, "Yes, my life changed because on that day," and you may not know the actual date of the day, but you can look back to a time when you know that you came to Lord Jesus Christ, and today you can say, "I've been freed from the thraldom of Satan, and freed by the Son of the living God." Now, I want you to realize this morning that this motto text we have does not apply to the ungodly. So if you're not a Christian today, this verse will not be much help to you. Because God said to Israel, "The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." He did not direct this verse towards the Egyptians who were following them. He did not direct the verse towards the Egyptian army coming after Israel. It was directed to God's ancient people, "The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." And so likewise it is for the child of God today that knows the Lord, we can take this verse as our verse. "The Lord shall fight for you in your situation, and ye shall hold your peace." But it does not apply to the ungodly. It does not apply to the Christ rejecter. It applies only to God's people. And that's why, if you want to enjoy the comfort of this verse, you need to know the one behind it, the Lord Jesus Christ, as your Savior. Now we pass on to look at the reality. And the reality is that life is not a bed of roses. Not for the ungodly, and not even for the believer. Because God could have wonderfully and miraculously cocooned the nation of Israel, as it were, in cotton wool. And as he brought them out of Egypt into the wilderness, he could have put his arms round about them so that nothing ever would cause them any concern or any fear. But God didn't do that. Certainly he was very gracious to them, because in the previous chapter you discover in verse 17, it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that's the Israelites, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near, for God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. And so God was very gentle with them, bringing them out of Egypt, and he did not allow them to go by the way of the Philistines, where they might have been plunged into a war situation immediately. But having said that, God did not promise them a bed of roses. He did not promise to cocoon them in cotton wool so that nothing would ever cause them a difficulty. Because if he had, they would have been a spoiled people. They would have been a soft people. They would have been a strengthless people. And they would have been a useless people. In fact, if you study Exodus along with the Psalm 105, you'll find that all the difficulty they had in Egypt was to strengthen them for the Exodus. Because it says in the Psalm that there was not one feeble person among their ranks. So they got commando training, or they got, if you like, marine training, so that they were ready for the lengthy march in the wilderness, and they would go forward by the power of the living God. So God was not going to spoil them or soften them. He was going to strengthen them and give them spine. And brethren and sisters, God has not changed. Because in our case, as believers, delivered from the slavery of sin and from the clutches of the devil, God is not going to spoil his people. He's not going to make them soft. He's not going to make them useless. He is going to cause them to develop a strength of faith that will meet the challenges and the battles that we face in life. And for example, the children of Israel, we're going to see a tremendous manifestation of the miracle working power of God as he rolled back the waters of the Red Sea. But if the Lord had not brought them to that place, they never discovered that. And that's why, like in the case of the Apostle Paul, God said to him, my grace is sufficient for thee. He called for a thorn in the flesh to be removed, but God didn't answer the prayer in the way he wanted. He just said, my grace is sufficient. And if Paul had not known the thorn in the flesh, and all of us have to face these at different times, if Paul had not known the thorn in the flesh, neither would he have known the amazing supernatural grace of God to be with him in his time of need. You see, there is a mistaken view out there in the world, and that is that God is some kind of great big soft, cuddly Santa Claus whose only reason for being is to keep us from hurting ourselves and to keep us happy. And so they'll argue, why did God not stop that aeroplane from crashing into the Red Sea yesterday? Why did God not stop that? But God didn't make the aeroplane, man made it. And they take the risks. And they have to understand that when they take risks, they sometimes pay and pay dearly for the things that they do. God is not a divine Santa Claus. He's a sovereign God of the universe, and he causes us as believers to go through times of difficulty that we may have our character as a Christian strengthened and have our faith strengthened in the hand of the Lord. I've told you before, any fool can say, hallelujah, praise the Lord, when things are going well. But to me, there's a more sweet and deep experience to be able to say, hallelujah, praise the Lord, when things are not going well and you're passing through the valley of the shadow and through the difficult times. We sang that hymn there, how God leads his dear children along. And we sang that for a reason, because the hymn writer, he tells us how that sometimes we're on the mountain top and the sun is shining. But at other times we're down the valley and we are in the darkness of despair. But one thing remains steady, and that is that God leads his dear children along. Now the children of Israel, they came to a place called Pi-Hahiroth. You'll find that in the second verse of our chapter. And that name, Pihahiroth, is a name that means place of liberty. And I'm sure the children of Israel had to think a little bit about that, because they found themselves hemmed in, as even Pharaoh said, because they had the Red Sea ahead of them, they had the mountains of Ethiopia to the west of them, and behind them they had the advancing army of Pharaoh. And here they're brought into this place called Pihahiroth, a place of liberty. And so we're told in the scripture that when they saw the Egyptians and the dust on the horizon as the Egyptians followed them, then they were sore afraid, because they realized this place of liberty is not going to be a place of liberty very much longer, because when Pharaoh arrives, we're going to be in slavery once more. And so it was a sore trial for the children of Israel. But did they not remember the 10 plagues? Did they not remember the wonderful deliverance and the slaying of the firstborn and the application of the blood to the door? Did they not remember that? Did they not remember how that God had wonderfully led them by a pillar of cloud and of fire? Had they forgotten these things? It seems that some of them certainly had very short memories. And men and women, today, as we stand the threshold of a new year and look and realize that there are battles ahead for us in this year, as for every child of God, and sometimes we can be sore afraid, but do we forget the Exodus, how the Lord brought us out of the slavery of the devil? Do we forget how that miraculously He cleansed our sins away, and that miraculously He has guided us by the Holy Spirit, that pillar of cloud and fire, to show us the way how to live our lives? Oh, today, may we not forget, but look back and say with one of old, we raise to God our Ebenezer, because hitherto hath the Lord helped us. But we will have in 2004 our own Pihahiroths, which seem to be places of liberty, and yet they may be places of great challenge. In life, every one of us are going to face personal challenges within our families. We are, many of us, are going to face physical challenges with regard to these tabernacles God has given to us, because the body that we have at its very best is very weak. And we hear over and over again of those who are ill, and we face the challenges of our physical Pihahiroths. And then not only that, but the psychological challenges of our Pihahiroths, because we live in a world that is very different to the world of the Bible. And I often think of the Apostle Paul, for example, traveling from one place to another in his missionary journey, walking along, or going perhaps in the back of a donkey, or maybe even a horse. But even that is quite slow. But we travel along today at immense speeds along the highways. Life today is at a pace unknown before. The advancements in technology are such that we live in this technological age, and the pressures that are there are immense upon us, and so there are many psychological barriers and problems that face people in this 21st century. And you wonder, I sometimes say, I wonder what Paul would say if he was just dropped in to Toronto in the middle of rush hour to have a look at it, or out to the airport to see these things going up into the sky, and so on. We live in an age where there are tremendous psychological challenges, and there are many battles ahead, battles that we have to fight, and there are enemies that we have to face. And for the child of God, there's an added thing, and that is that there is in the world today and in this country a general decline in piety and faith. The churches that once were worship centers are now turned into entertainment complexes and are weakening the whole fabric of Christianity. Wickedness abounds in our society, and it is welcomed by society. Otherwise it couldn't advance. And you'll find that faith is condemned in society, and if you take your stand for the Bible, and you preach the Word of God, and you dare to believe the Bible literally, then you're regarded as some sort of redneck, and as somebody who is intellectually inferior. In actual fact, the Bible itself has the answer. It says it is the fool that has said in his heart, there is no God. And so we are facing in this year and the years to come tremendous battles and challenges with the decline of the Christian faith. And it's very difficult for believers to come to grips with this. Like the children of Israel, we are Pirahiroth, a place of liberty, but what's this dust on the horizon? We're in danger. And so they turned on Moses. Why did you bring us here? Why did you not let us stay in slavery in Egypt? And so some of them wanted to return back. And people today wring their hands and say, what is wrong? And they say, what are we doing wrong? In actual fact, that's the wrong question. Because we need to focus on what are we doing right. No matter what the world does, it's incumbent upon the believer to live according to the dictates of the Word of the living God. So the reality is that we will face battles. Personal, congregational, national, denominational. There are all kinds of battles ahead before us. But the encouragement of our motto text is, the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. So let's just take a moment or two in closing to think about the deliverance that God gives us. The one thing to remember is that it was God who brought Israel to Pirahiroth. They didn't find themselves there by their own direction. God gave Moses clear, specific instructions how to get to this place and to stay there. And so it was God that brought them there. You may remember what I said was at the watch night service. Somebody said, and I can't get the name of the person who made the quote originally, but somebody said, and it's very true, that where you are now, in whatever circumstances you find yourself in, that is the best place to be. You say, Lord, there's an enemy coming. I'm facing personal problems, I'm facing physical problems, I'm facing psychological problems. Lord, what do you mean? But the Lord, He overrules our lives and He directs us, because in the Pirahiroth is the place we're going to learn how the Lord delivers His people in the time of conflict and the time of difficulty. Now let me warn you, of course, that it is possible to get yourself into trouble. You see, it wasn't Israel's fault that they found themselves in Pirahiroth. The Lord led them there. But sometimes people get themselves into trouble themselves because of carelessness in their lives and carelessness in how they live their Christian experience. And there's one example of that. You find Elijah down under the juniper tree saying, Lord, take me away. Let me die, Lord, because I'm not better than my father. Whoever told him he was better than his father, we don't know, but he wanted the Lord to take him away. But God said to him, what doest thou here, Elijah? You see, that was a place of Elijah's own making. He ran away. He was afraid of Jezebel, so he went and he hid under a tree and then finally went down into the wilderness of sin, and there he hid in a cave. What doest thou here, Elijah? But the lesson is that even in that place, in the very place where Elijah brought himself by his lack of faith, even there, God overruled and met with him and gave him the victory. So remember today that the Lord is the one who orders your circumstances, and when you fight against the circumstances, you find yourself losing out because you're fighting against God. So as much as lies within you, as the scripture tells us, live peaceably and in contentment, realizing that God knows best, because he's working out his purpose as he was in the case of Israel. But there's a difficulty here, and the difficulty is that in verse number 13, Moses said to the people, "Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord." Now, the word "stand still" there is a word that literally means to keep silence. Now, this is not easy, because we're told that there was in the camp of Israel 600,000 men. And when you add into that wives and children, you're looking at probably at least 1.5 or 2 million people in the Exodus. And they're told here by God to stand still, to keep silence. Now you imagine trying to keep in our school with 300 pupils, trying to keep them silent is sometimes a bit of a problem. You think of trying to keep 1.5 or 2 million people silent. And that's what God says, "Fear ye not, stand still." And they were not to move a hand, they weren't to move a foot, and they weren't to move a tongue. To stand still. Now I would suggest to you that that is about the hardest thing that they were asked to do. Because as they cast over their shoulder and look, and they see the dust telling of the army of the approaching Egyptians, the last thing they want to do is to stand still and do nothing. Looking around, how do we get out of here before we're slaughtered by Pharaoh and his army? How do we get out of here? And so the hardest thing would be to stand still. And they're not just like you and me. Because when you find there's a battle there, and there's a stand to be taken, the great tendency is, "Lord, I gotta do something." And even worse, the tendency is, "I gotta say something." And so we want to speak out, we want to do something. And the whole time in our ear is the word of the Lord saying, "Stand still." And that is very often the hardest thing to do. You see, the children of Israel were entered into a faith-strengthening exercise. They were going to see a notable miracle because God was going to fight for them. And again, you got a problem because the Bible tells us God is a God of peace. The God of peace. Over and over again, we're told he's the God of peace, but we're told here he's going to fight. And he's going to fight Egypt for them, because they're going to see a mighty supernatural deliverance by the power of the living God. And my friend, it is no contest when God Almighty steps into the equation. But our trouble is that we say, "Lord, I got to fight this myself. Lord, I got to speak out myself." But God says, "Stand still. Keep quiet. Keep your mouth shut. Because I will show you the miraculous deliverance, and your faith will therefore be strengthened." And so today, my friend, whatever your problem may be, whether it's personal or physical or psychological or some other problem, whatever your problem may be, your problems are nothing to a sovereign God. Nothing. Because God is able to give the victory at that time. And all he's saying is, I want you to trust me. Trust me. Believe me. I have led you here, and I'll get you out of it. I'll get you out by my power, and you'll stand back and you'll say, this is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Now, with regard to Moses, Moses knew that the Lord was going to give the victory because God spoke to Moses and gave him certain instructions. But Moses wasn't sure how the deliverance was going to come. Would, for example, God repeat the miracle of the hail and hail down upon the Egyptian army and destroy them? He could do that. Or God could send down fire from heaven to consume them. Would God do that? Or again, as they had experienced and would experience again in the future, the very ground could open up and swallow the Egyptian army. Would God do that? And there's all kinds of things that God could have done. Would the angel of death come over the Egyptian army and over Pharaoh and smite them one by one? Moses didn't know what God was going to do. He knew that God would vindicate them and give them the victory, but he didn't know how. Until the Lord revealed his hand. My friend, in our case, very often, we don't know how God is going to deliver us. Whether it's a personal problem or physical problem or it's some other problem facing us. We don't know how God is going to do it. But we do know that God will do it. Now, there is what appears to be a contradiction here. Because in verse 13, Moses said unto the children of Israel, and I believe he was speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And then in verse number 15, Moses was told, speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. So on the one hand they're told to stand still, on the other hand they're told to go forward. Is that a contradiction? No. Because the lesson is, we are to trust and obey. You stand still and you trust the Lord as they did until the Lord said, go. And then when he said, go, they went in faith to the waters of the Red Sea. God opened up the space and they passed over on dry land and God destroyed. So before we get the victory, we have to first of all sit at the feet of the Lord. We have to stand still. We have to listen to his voice. And then we are to obey him. And when you do obey, it may be an impossible command. Because God said to Israel, go forward. But as we sung in the hymn, a sea before them lay. What do we do now, Lord? Just keep walking. Just keep going. And then God miraculously and wonderfully opened up the Red Sea and they passed over on dry land. And God defeated the wicked Pharaoh and his whole army in the depths of the swamp of the bottom of the Dead Sea. The waters come over. They were destroyed. And on the other side, the children of Israel sat down and they sang in victory. And chapter 15 is a wonderful chapter to study because they sang, the Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God. I will prepare him an habitation, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. That's a change from a little bit earlier. They're saying, let's go back to the slavery of Egypt. Now they're sitting down rejoicing because God had shown his power. So my friend, I don't know what difficulties you're going to face in this year, but I do know that some of us will face difficulties, hard things, battles to be fought, enemies to be faced. But always keep in mind, the Lord shall fight for you and ye shall hold your peace. Because when our back's against the wall, as Israel's was, that's when God steps in and He works a deliverance, because we can never have a deliverance where we can say, well, I did that. When we're delivered, we have to say, this is the Lord's doing. Let's bow together in prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee today for the encouragement of Thy Word. And we pray, our Father, that each one of us may have our strength increased. That whether, Lord, we go through the valley of darkness or on the mountaintop of sunshine, O God, help us, we pray, ever to see the hand of God directing us and leading us, leading His dear children along, some through the water, some through the flood, but thank God all through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So bless Thy people, we pray, and give us a great year. May this be a year when many shall come to know the Lord Jesus, when Thy people shall be strengthened, and when, Lord, by the power of God, we shall overcome by the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb, because the Lord shall fight for us, and we ourselves will hold our peace. Hear this, our prayer, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.